everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio 415. I have my friend and coworker, Mr. Robert, here with me to join. How are you, Robert?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
Yeah. You have like kind of a general interest in just JavaScript, the language and stuff anyway. I don't know. Is that fair to say? You know, like,
yeah, it's, you know, I've certainly seen it evolve over the years. So it's been fun to keep an eye on what's been going on with it. And, you know, every once in a while I do a little deep dive into the process and the language.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're kind of my go-to guy for stuff like that. And then at work, sometimes jobs that like require that type of thing end up being a Robert job in a way. This one's a little abstract and it involves the new editor and it involves the concept of blocks, which I don't know how much everybody listening to this show, like, do you like fully get what a block is yet? It's on us, CodePen, to explain to the world what we think of as a block in the new CodePen editor. But it's just going to be a concept in 2.0. And you add blocks to pens to give them functionality, mostly functionality that processes code in some way. So if, you know, if it takes an input and provides an output, that's basically a block. And maybe that's the easiest way to think about it. But for example, in the old editor, we had all these preprocessors or post-processors or just processors, however you want to call it, for Sass and Babel and TypeScript and Stylus and Haml and all these different things. And the UI we exposed for them was just like, you open up the settings for the relevant language and you just pick it from a drop down. And I think that was like relatively successful for us for a while. There's some simplicity to that, but there's also a lot of like hidden complexity to that. You weren't picking, we're going to end up talking about Babel in this episode, so I'm just going to say Babel. Babel's even more complicated for reasons we'll get into. But all you did was just select Babel from a dropdown. And then you're like, well, what does that mean? What version of Babel? What config of Babel? What plugins of Babel are you supporting? No, we didn't tell you any of that. You just pick Babel. That's it. And now we're trying to, in the new editor, we're not trying to just jam complexity into your face. In fact, anything but that. But I think we need to be a little, because this is, you know, a tool for professional developers, we hope, at some level, that if you want to know that stuff and control that stuff, that you can, while keeping it as simple as we want to. So that's the charge in front of us. I have that about right, Robert?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I think of blocks, like my sort of layperson's description would be a block is just one of those tools that you would throw at your code or your project to help out, you know, provide extra functionality, allow you to, you know, to write in a different language or syntax than you would normally do with your baseline JavaScript, HTML, CSS. So
yeah, there you go. Hopefully there's that sounds nice because it sounds kind of intuitive then. Like, I don't know, it's one of those things you just add. There is like a little distinction, but is it, you'd be forgiven for thinking, oh, is it just like a thing you NPM install? And you're like, yeah, sometimes. But sometimes those things that are NPM? Yeah, are just, they're like just like a client-side thing. Like jQuery is on NPM. jQuery does not process your code. jQuery just is available for you to link to, and you link to it and then use it.
Yeah, the NPM install bar, I think, gets you into trouble when you start talking about libraries and frameworks and other stuff that may or may not really involve actual processing. So
right. It's that processing that's what makes it block-like in our world. Okay, so like I said, we're gonna talk about Babel and the fact that the old editor just, you know, you just select Babel and then all this stuff happens. Now, of course, we have no choice. We did configure Babel and we did run it on a particular node version and we did run a particular version of Babel and all this. And we tried to like keep them up to date the best we could and that type of thing. So for the most part, we could upgrade the version of it and have everybody, you know, somehow we lucked out into a world where that really wasn't that hard of a problem, but we're now living through a new era where it might be. Another interesting thing about a block is a block has a version, and a version is as close to being totally locked as it can be. So when you pick a block, you're going to pick a particular version of it. You don't have to pick, you'll just get one. But then it's not going to change, which is good for us and you, hopefully, because it means anytime you ever come back to that, it's never going to break. It's like the version of it will be the same forever. And then it gives us the freedom to make a new version of that block that does do things differently, like upgrade versions or and whatnot, and not worry about breaking old pens. So we have that going for us as well. All right. So how was the old Babel configured? Like if you go to CodePen right now and use Babel, this is what's going to happen. It's going to run it on some version of Babel. I can't even tell you which. We could look it up, but it's our Babel block is particularly weird. And we just picked stuff. We just literally stuff. We're like, that looks cool. We'll add that. So it does process your JSX. That's a big reason that the whole world uses Babel. That could be the only reason you use it, because it confirms it turns JSX into React decode, or if you configure it with directives in your code, you can have it, you know, do it the preact way or whatever. So it does JSX processing. It also has a couple of other React specific plugins in there that I'm not even sure I could 100% explain to you. But then there's other stuff like nullish coalescing, optional chaining, private methods, logical assignment operators. Some of this stuff is kind of like old news. Like nullish coalescing is not that's particularly been around for a while. New.
Yeah.
It's just around. But our Babel plugin, you don't have any control over this, by the way, as a user of the old editor. You just get the nullish coalescing operator plugin, and thus your nullish coalescers are Babelized away. Like it turns it into whatever crap Babel does before JavaScript supported that thing. So that's what the old editor is. I'm not going to probably list out every single solitary thing the old Babel config does, but we don't really want the block to like follow in those footsteps. When you add the Babel block to a pen now, we want it to be a much more like how people think of Babel today. Like times have changed. We want it to be nice. And I'll tell you what people do with Babel now. Mostly they use preset env. Babel themselves ships it as a plugin. And it's a way for you to conceptually think about Babel as, I don't know, it just like transforms future JavaScript stuff to today JavaScript stuff. And even better, it looks at browser support targets and it either does that or doesn't do that depending on like recent versions of the browser. So your JavaScript theoretically evolves in time. Like for now, if it needs to mess with some particular JavaScript syntax because it's super duper new, fine, it'll do that. But in 2 years, that'll fall off and it'll stop processing that syntax. It's a lovely way to work with Babel, really. So perhaps the default way of working with Babel should be like, it just loads that one plugin. That's it. Maybe JSX too.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the advantages of the preset env plugin is that it, you know, if like when we go back and look at the processor that runs on CodePen today on the traditional editor, there is like you said, there is a laundry list of plugins that we have to support all sorts of stuff. But as a, you know, as the maintainer of CodePen, the service, the product, you're put in the position of having to decide like which of these are relevant and which are not. And, you know, if one stops being relevant, you know, what happens if we want to, you know, if we want to pull that out of the lineup and, right. You know, and modern Babel, like you said, with preset env has kind of taken on that burden. So, you know, like for us, it's, you know, it'd be very, very advantageous for us to say, we're going to go with preset env. We're going to have whatever version we have. And, you know, and we're going to configure it with the, you know, with targets that are reasonable and appropriate for, you know, the vast majority of our users.
Yes.
And then stop worrying about it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when we were putting together the Babel block, we had to go through this process of deciding which of these old plugins are still relevant. You know, is the function bind operator that was, you know, that was in stage one or two of the TC39 process, or the process by which the JavaScript language evolves, you know, is that still relevant? And, you know, like go and dive into that proposal and its status. And
right. And the fact is some of them died and some of them just became the language is kind of where it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, I forget how many plugins we had, but that, you know, basically we had like 8 or 10 or 12 of these plugins that are in the, you know, in the processor today. And we went through and looked at them, and they fell into one of two very clear buckets. One was, you know, the language has evolved, and this, you know, and you know, nullish coalescing is now a thing on all the platforms, and you don't need Babel for that. And it's, you know, and all the targets, like, it just doesn't need to be transformed anymore. Or the proposal kind of withered on the vine and never went anywhere, and nobody is using it. And so it kind of needs to go away.
Yeah, we saw one of those the other day, didn't we? Robert and I have been working on like a verification script that like looks at old pens and new pens and converts them and like just tries to be really, really, really super duper duper sure that what you get in the new editor is what you expect. And there's like, you know, as you can guess with let's call it umpteen million pens on CodePen. There's a couple of outliers, and some of them were using very obscure Babel or, you know, JavaScript syntax that never, ever saw the light of day. And we're like, how much do we care about that? You know, it's like, we don't want to break anything, but it's got to be a balancing act. But let me describe this balancing act, because there is a way to not do this balancing act. And we have chosen that path for some other blocks. One way to do that is to have two, in right now in the new editor, we just have kind of just one Babel block for now. We want to launch, ideally we're launching with just the latest and greatest version of each block, and then that's it. And then we evolve the blocks from the day we launch forward, and we're ready for that. But another way to do it is to have kind of a legacy block that is exactly or as absolutely exactly close as we can to what the old processor was like, the non-block, just how it worked in the old editor. So we could launch with like just the you know, Babel block, the modern version of it. It's the very latest one on the day that we ship, and it's just really got preset ENV in there ready to go, and it's just really modern. And that kind of is what we're doing.
Yeah.
But instead of making a legacy Babel block for now, this could change, I'm just saying, but for now, we're using that same block for old Babel as well, because we're doing all this conversion testing work and we know that it seems to be working okay. But kind of like secretly, we installed some of these old school Babel plugins in the block itself, because a block is like has its own little node packages and stuff in it. And some of them we make available. So there's this other config that you can get. Not like right now, you go to the new editor and you just say, I want Babel. You get this very modern Babel config and away you go. But there will also be converted pens. All your existing pens at CodePen will at some point be converted into a 2.0 pen. You could do it yourself at one point. It's even available now as an optional thing where it's not really converting. It's just like letting you go look and play with the new editor with this code. But eventually they'll be kind of like forcibly converted. And those forcibly converted will have this kind of tweener Babel config. It's not exactly like the old config. It's not the really modern config that you get when you just add Babel fresh. It's this middle ground config that's going to support, you know, 99.5% of all Babel pens. But just, it's just a little bit more like the old setup than the new setup. So weird? Yes. What for us, it means that we don't have to build a legacy Babel block. And that's the thing that I say could change. Because as Robert and I get deeper and deeper into this, we might just throw up our hands and say, we need to make a legacy Babel block that's exactly like the old one. Because then we'll know that all pens convert perfectly with Babel. But in a way, we just kind of don't want to. It just becomes a little bit of extra technical debt that sucks in a way.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges. I mean, any software project, as I'm sure all your listeners know, there is this trade-off between like maintaining the backward compatibility and the giant boat anchor that can become,
right,
versus just making a clean cut and, you know, and moving forward. And yeah, that is a balancing act. And we've had many discussions about it and made many decisions that we've then later unmade.
Yeah. Yeah. So this tweener plugin does, here's the list of them and we'll see which ones sound interesting. It has decorators in it. because we're in this place with decorator. Decorator is like when you're writing a class in JavaScript, you write this little, the at sign, like in email addresses, and then like the name of a function. And I forget how to, what the elevator pitch is for it, but it's a, just a, you know, generally enjoyed syntax that does stuff. The way, the place I always see it is in like lit HTML when you use it with TypeScript. TypeScript supports decorators just built in for whatever reason, kind of a bold choice by them, I guess. But you can write like at custom element and then name your custom HTML element like web components do. And you just look at that syntax, you're like, oh, that's so clean. Like it. So we have decorators in there. I don't know. We just do. We have JSX in there because the old, you didn't have to pick that in the old editor. JSX just worked. So there's that and a couple of other React ones. One's called React display name. Couldn't tell you, but it was necessary for some reason. And then just transform React.js, which perhaps is the thing that tells JSX that it's not just JSX, but it's the flavor of JSX that turns crap into React.create element, probably. And then that's it, I guess. Wow, we got away with not much, huh?
I mean, decorators was the only one that I remember looking at and thinking like, this is actually in an interesting place where it's, you know, it's an active and fully, and it's an active enough and fleshed out enough TC39 proposal that we need to actually keep this one.
Right.
And I've since gone back and looked at it and it's either at stage three or stage four at this point. I think I've seen competing numbers there. But
so it's pretty far along.
Yeah, I mean, stage four TC39, for those people that aren't familiar with the process, is the language feature is fully developed and just waiting to be put into the official ECMAScript proposal. And stage three is just basically a holding pattern for that, where they're making sure that it's working properly in sort of a broadly distributed and implemented environment. So. So decorators is the interesting one. And that was it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's kind of the only interesting one. Because, for example, I brought up nullish coalescing. That's when two question marks in a row or two question marks and an equals is a nullish coalescing assignment operator, which is also useful.
Yeah.
But since we removed that plugin, that means that if you wrote Babel before and now you convert your pen and you get this new syntax, that plugin is not in there. It's not even available to use. You can't even just write it in and say, I'm just going to use it anyway. That won't work because it's not installed into this version of the block. It's just going to say that plugin isn't supported or whatever. But what will actually happen is it just won't be transformed in the JavaScript that you write. And it's going to work fine. Because the browser support for it is super old and fine. So it kind of doesn't matter. And that's us having to make a decision for you that says, we don't think this matters. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I guess we're comfortable doing that. We have to make decisions like that. But we have to make them less and less going forward. Because this will be the last time we have to make decisions like that. Because in the future, it'll be just like, well, you configure the plugin however you want it, and we'll just make sure it stays like that forever. And it uses that same version of Node and Babel and all that forever. So this is, you know, we're going to make some hard decisions now, and it'll be the last time-ish we need to ever make them.
Yeah. Yeah, and the less we have to do of this, the better. Although I will admit there's a part of me that's like, man, I hope we get this right because, you know, as you said, we have umpteen million pens that we've got to convert. And if we screw that up, like if we get 0.1% wrong, you know, that's going to be like 5,000 or 500,000 pens that are broken and that we're going to hear about eventually from people. So
yeah, not ideal. Yeah, get it.
Yeah, getting this right does have some importance.
Yeah, yeah, you're right that it you know, it's not just who moved my cheese then. It's not like, oh, what's up with this new UI? It's like my pen used to work and now it doesn't. Why would you do that to me? I don't trust this product anymore, which would suck. So, yeah, that's why we're working on it. It's very detailed work. We're going to get there. With SAS is an option where we went the other way. SAS was like different enough. We want it so that when you go to the new editor and you add SAS, which I know people use less and less, but it's still a thing and it's still actively worked on and all this stuff, you get like ultra modern version of it. But SAS has changed enough, believe it or not, even with its APIs and stuff over point releases, that it's like, it's just too different. And we weren't able to do what we're able to do with Babel, where we just have one SAS and it just gets everything. We're like, screw it. We're going to have legacy SAS. Legacy SAS is not that old. It's still Dart SAS. If you're a SAS user, you might know that it started in Ruby and then changed to, was there a time where it was just Node? I don't remember, but now it's Dart. That's like the latest thing that it's written in. And even that API has changed a bit, and the things that it supports are slightly different. How it supports plugins and stuff. You know that there was a period of time where SAS plugins were like kind of popular, and now they are not. Nobody talks about them. Nobody uses a SAS plugin anymore, which is just like a, God, you had to configure it at the API level when you're calling SAS and stuff. They were pretty deep in there, or at least in our operation, that's how you do it. It was things like Bourbon and Neat. We just looked at some of this yesterday, Robert. This call, I imagine we might have to talk about it a little bit, see how that went. Anyway, that was too weird. So our legacy block, which all pens will be converted to using, again, it's not that old, but it's old enough that we didn't want to bring that technological debt, that burden forward with us. Pens are going to get that. They're going to work fine how they used to work. But if you want to change to the newest version, then it's going to. And one of the things that's just not supported anywhere in the very, very latest, newest is any of those plugins that we just think are not necessary to smash into the latest, greatest version of SAS. Mm-hmm. Legacy stuff.
Yep.
Optional chaining. Super gone, you know. Another one that I alluded to in Babel that was it was really weird. It had this like two colon syntax. Do you remember what that was even called? Remember, it was like the one we kept looking at was :: find, and then it would call something, and then after that, those parentheses, there'd be another two colons.
I think that was the function binding. I think that might have been the function binding.
Yeah. And you looked that one up.
Don't ask me to explain it.
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
No, I didn't.
It was a thing. I don't remember. It's, you know, it doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. And it's.
But you had to look that up and be like, is there a world in which you support that? No, you have to like go and look. It involves looking at GitHub threads and seeing it. And then didn't you have some thoughts while we were doing all this that you even wrote up and sent to them? It's like, could it be easier to understand the status of some of these?
Oh, God. So I literally sat down thinking, I'm not going to talk about this. I don't want to go into it. But I you know, there was a moment when I was like, this was a year or two ago, I was like, I want to completely understand what's going on with the TC39 process. And I like walked through every proposal and looked at what they'd done. And there were a lot that had not been worked on in like 8 years, you know, where there had just been zero activity. And I was like, hey, I actually sent put up an issue on the TC39 repo saying, hey, it'd be really nice if you guys could deprecate some of these and just let people know which proposals have kind of withered on the vine and are no longer being worked on.
Oh, right.
And I may be putting words in the mouth of some TC39 person I haven't met, but if I recall correctly, the response I got was like, well, actually, these are all still considered viable. Because, you know, they like the people that work on these proposals have limited time. You know, it's an open source thing. Like, nobody's getting paid for this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that person that created that proposal 8 years ago may be between jobs and all of a sudden have plenty of time to work on it. And now it becomes, you know, it becomes an active thing again.
Were you okay with that answer?
Well, I have to be, because it's open source. Yeah. And I'm getting exactly what I'm paying for. As a participant,
I would even further than that. I would think even if the person themselves is like so mentally moved on, they're like, dude, I am a basket weaver now. I do not care about my old proposal. I even then maybe don't close it because
somebody else might pick it up.
It was an idea. Yeah, right.
It's the open source world. It's interesting in that regard.
I guess from our perspective, we kind of don't care if it's like the first. Like, what does it start? It starts at stage zero, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you don't even look until it's stage one.
Stage zero is literally like, it's somebody's, you know, it's somebody's like nucleus of an idea somewhere. And like they may have sent, you know, like sent the idea to the TC39 committee, and it's just on their radar as like, oh, somebody sent, you know, somebody mentioned this right. in a conversation. Like that's literally stage zero. Stage one is, okay, we've accepted it as something that we're willing to spend time on. Stage two is, I'm paraphrasing here from memory, so I probably have this somewhat wrong, but stage two is, it's a viable proposal. It's being worked on. It's active. You know, there's like an actual spec and, you know, and a prototype implementation. And then stage three is, I think there's, you know, like one of the major VMs has started, you know, may have an experimental flag around it or something.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes from there, but it's zero through
and
four.
And four is like, it's in the language. Full
yeah.
stop.
Four is, yeah. As far as it's in the language, it's just waiting for publication at the next.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember you used to be able to configure Babel and you could even dial it way down to stage zero. And I don't think they supported every stage zero idea in the world, but I think it was his way of saying like, this is like really experimental stuff. I don't know what you got from that, but something.
Well, I mean, it was an interest. It's interesting. I mean, that was a phase in my development career where I was really curious about the nature of JavaScript, the language, and how it's evolved. Because, I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and JavaScript for a long time was a very stagnant language from like 1994 or 96 when it was invented through like 2015. There wasn't really a standards track. It was just, you know, it was just the language, and there was lots of politics and, you know, and conflict and browser wars and whatnot, but the language itself didn't really change that much. And then, you know, and then kind of the community got their act together and there's a committee and the standards and, you know, and now a new version of the language is published every year. And there is a well understood process for getting new features into the language. And it's great. Like having lived through the before times, I love it. Like, and it's exciting. I love seeing new features coming into the language.
Yeah, it's so, part of the, I don't know, the spirit of the language is that it evolves and use cases are found for things and it changes. It is a different like ethos or whatever to some other languages where they on purpose don't do that. They're like, actually, the strength of our language is that we barely ever change and that we're super opinionated. And if you have some other way of iterating arrays, too bad, because there is only one way to do that in our language, and that's what you're going to get. Interesting, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I prefer the JavaScript way. It's more fun.
Yeah, I think it's more sustainable. Like, you know, for better or worse, JavaScript, the language, is going to probably be around a long time because it is malleable and flexible and adaptable. Someday they'll probably have to come up with a process for deprecating features. They may have one already, but I'm not sure I've seen that happen. So
I've mentioned this before too, so maybe it's old news, but I think that this stuff is like, is this the language, which I guess we've made clear in this podcast, but there is like a different world where JavaScript evolves, but it's not about the language. It's just about the APIs that the language deals with. So it's like, I was looking at iframe permission stuff this week. That's kind of unrelated to anything in this, but you have to like give it permission to use certain APIs like the LLM stuff that Google and other browsers want to start baking into browsers, like a summarizer API. Okay, cool. There's probably going to be APIs that you call to do LLM stuff in JavaScript, but JavaScript, the language, is like, I don't care. Go ahead. You know, that has nothing to do with the language of JavaScript. It's just some API that gets bolted onto Window or Document or Navigator or something.
Yeah, the DOM, the runtime.
Right. But it gets convoluted because you like read a post like, what's new in JavaScript? It's going to be either one of those things, even though the people that think about and deal with them are super different.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's actually, I mean, it's not just like the language or the APIs. Like it's the language or it's the APIs that are built into the language, or it's the APIs that are built into the DOM. And then, you know, and then.
Yeah, or DOM. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all subtly different.
A tool that somebody built on top of all this.
Yeah.
It might be in the same post that's like, what's new in JavaScript is like, well, there's Bun now or whatever. I mean, everybody probably knows what that is at this point, but that's neither. That's just a runtime for JavaScript. It's such a complicated world. But okay, we talked about Babel. That's where we're at. You know, to summarize, we have this old Babel config, and there's a little bit of a fork in the road where when you get new Babel, we give you this modern syntax, and notably the config that you get is editable. So now you have control over what your Babel is going to do. And we'll have as the language evolves, you can upgrade versions of Babel and that kind of thing in the new editor, which you're absolutely not able to do in the old editor. So go us, that's a cool feature. And then when you convert pens, you get this middle ground thing that's probably going to support what your old pen did, just without a lot of the cruft and stuff that isn't necessary anymore. Yay. Final thoughts?
I would just point out that this configurable editable Babel config that we're, you know, that people will have access to is also nicely tucked away in a place that's not super in your face. So if you don't want to have to think about it, which I'm really hoping most people don't, you don't. Like, it's, you know.
I agree. Most people will never touch it. You have it if you want it, but you don't have to use it if you don't want to. That is a very, very good point. And a limitation of it, because I think it's important for people explaining about their technical projects to explain the limitations of it. You can't, in the new editor, as of right now, which is still private alpha, or private beta, we should say, you can't just add any plugin you want to the new block. We want you to be able to do that, but you cannot do that now. So if you have some cool Babel plugin that you have your eye on, and we don't have it yet installed, you can definitely email us about it. We can talk about it, but we don't have that ready to go. Okay, that's it. See you next time. Thanks for your time, Robert, and your time, listeners.
Yeah, thanks again.
We'll see you later.